Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Comprehensive science takes an inclusive rather than exclusive and a long-term versus short-term approach to a problem. One of the things that happens in problem-oriented approaches is that we wind up with a lot of tiny blocks of data that nobody puts together to make a coherent picture of what's actually going on. Consider the case of the dwindling elk population in the Yellowstone area over the last 20 years. We're not talking about a small decline in the population. We're talking about a population that went from tens of thousands of animals to just a few thousand. Hunters and those who provided services for them blamed the wolves. This wasn't surprising because hunters were among the group who had blamed the wolves for everything that went wrong in the Yellowstone area ever since the wolves were introduced. There were many studies done regarding the cause of the decrease, and like the other studies, they usually represented the view of one group or another. The anti-wolf group had studies that showed that the wolves were responsible for the decline, and the pro-wolf groups had their studies that proved the opposite. Enter Thomas Middleton, who was hired to supervise a team of individuals to do actual on-the-ground studies. First thing he did was to determine the magnitude of the problem, which is that between 1989 and 2009, the number of elk calves surviving to adulthood plunged a phenomenal 74%. He spent months on the ground tracking elk to confirm this data. During this time, which included periods with temperatures below freezing, he discovered something about elk that I never knew. They don't do much. They eat, they sleep, they ruminate, they lie down, which makes for some pretty boring hours of observation. Nonetheless, at the end of this time, his data showed that elk rarely encountered wolves. And when they did, unless the wolves were less than a half a mile away, they didn't even bother to move or even to stop chewing. They just went about their business. He found no correlation between wolf encounters and the decline in the pregnancy rate in the elk, nor did he find any loss of body fat in the elk during this period, which would indicate that the wolves were stressing them to the point that they weren't eating as much as usual. But he was observing adults. Were the wolves eating the calves? Other research revealed that almost 70% of the calves died before they reached a year of age. And of them, only 15% were killed by wolves. Who or what was killing the rest of them? 60% of the remainder was being killed by bears, primarily grizzly bears. Grizzlies were eating approximately three times more elk calves than they had a mere 20 years earlier. Why did the bears change their diet? Other research revealed that the bears in the past had fed on cutthroat trout, which were plentiful in Yellowstone Park. Or rather, they were plentiful until sport fishermen decided they wanted to fish for something larger. So they illegally introduced larger lake trout into the Yellowstone waterways. The larger trout competed with a cutthroat for the same resources. They also preyed on the cutthroat trout, and they spawned in deeper water where the grizzlies couldn't reach them. When this food supply dried up, the grizzlies turned their attention to the calves. Even adding bear and grizzlies to the mix still didn't account for all the calves. What was killing the rest of them? Another fact that was revealed in this complex of studies was change in the climate. During this same period, there had been multiple and extensive droughts in the Yellowstone area. So whereas the females would normally come down from their more sheltered and winter environments onto the open land and graze on nutrient-rich grass, all that was left was less nutritious forage that they needed to consume large amounts of just to break even. They couldn't reach the nutritional level necessary to support mating, let alone pregnancy. So in the end, it wasn't just the wolves, it wasn't just the bears, it wasn't just the loss of the cutthroat trout or the drought. Ultimately, the enemy was us.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.